it's about helping people. It's about the impact that you make on people that can't help themselves.
Welcome to the Off Duty Podcast, the podcast where we interview the men and women of law enforcement and help you to learn about the person behind the badge. If this is your first time tuning in, thank you. My name is Anthony McNeil, retired police officer and your host. Let's get started. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode number 28 of the Off Duty Podcast. Once again, it's me, your boy, Anthony McNeil. And man, I am excited about this episode. Today, I got family on the show, y'all. This gentleman, he and I worked together for 13 years. We've partied together. We've gotten in the trenches together. He's went on after leaving our department to go and work for the feds. We're going to get into all the things that he's doing here in a little bit. But I am super excited to have joining me today, Special Agent Drew Cineri. Drew, my man, what's going on, bro?
Hey, Tony, how's it going, Sweeper?
I'm good, man. Just so y'all know, Sweeper was my nickname at the department. I won't tell you why.
We'll keep that in the background.
Everything good, bro?
Oh, I'm good, man. I'm good. Just living in the suburbs of Chicago now, working for Postal OIG.
Sweet, man. Sweet. Well, for all of you that listen to the podcast on a regular basis, you know what the first question is, and that's simply why law enforcement?
Well, man, that's a really easy question for me, because law enforcement for me is not about arresting the bad guys. Law enforcement for me has always been about helping people. Mm-hmm. It started for me in high school as a lifeguard. I told my mom that I wanted to try out and I trained to be a lifeguard towards the end of high school. And I did that into college. And it was all about helping people. Okay. And my uncle, who is retired as a major for the Sheriff's Department in Michigan, I looked up to him a lot. And I decided that I wanted to go into law enforcement because of him. And it was all about really helping people. And I know you can relate to this too, Tony, that it's about helping people. It's about the impact that you make on people that can't help themselves. And a lot of times that includes arresting people, but it's more about the impact of helping people that can't help themselves, going on those runs and helping a person that just can't help themselves. Yeah. And that needs your assistance.
Like I said, Drew and I, we worked together for 13 years, but his law enforcement career started before we hooked up. Can you give your background a little bit as far as where you started and everything?
Sure. Yeah. So I started out as a sheriff's deputy with Oak County Sheriff's Department in Michigan. I did a little over 2 years there. Then I went on to the Southfield Police Department, where I worked with you, Tony. And I did 13 years there. I was a patrol officer for 5 years. Then I did 8 years in the Detective Bureau, did property crimes, and then I worked gangs and drugs on a violent crimes task force assigned out to the FBI. And that kind of gave me a taste for doing multi-jurisdictional. And that's what got me applying to the feds, because I was working a lot of cases that led me to believe, or not led me to believe, but really, I guess, helped me to see that there was a lot going on outside my jurisdiction that I just couldn't touch as a police officer. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the people that I was talking to as a detective that I was interviewing, I was getting information of stuff that was going outside of Southfield and the stuff that was going outside of the state, but I couldn't really do anything about it. And then as a FBI task force officer, I was getting to touch these investigations and travel throughout the country and investigate these cases. And so I ended up applying to several agencies, and I was fortunate enough to be picked up by the Secret Service.
Okay.
And I spent 4.5 years with the Secret Service.
What was that like?
Man, that was a wild ride. It was a wild ride. The Secret Service was very good to me. They treated me very well here in Chicago, and I have nothing bad to say about the Secret Service. The supervision in Chicago treated me very good. They were very good to me. I had the opportunity to investigate some very high-profile cases with a couple of guys that I was partnered up with. Some cases involved human trafficking and gun trafficking. And those cases also involved over $1 million in counterfeit currency.
Wow.
Yeah. and also was fortunate enough to stand next to the last four presidents and their wives in the process.
Nice.
So it was a good thing, but family first.
Yeah.
And my kids, my son and daughter, they needed me to be a dad first. And my time was up in the Chicago area, and I'm a single father.
Okay.
And as a single father, when it was time for me to move to DC, I would have had to work protection full time. And supervision in Chicago was looking out for me here in Chicago. But in DC, working protection full time as a father, it just wasn't going to work. And yeah. I couldn't be in the south of France with the president. And something happens to my kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, the nanny or the au pair is watching after them, and that's just not a possibility. So,
yeah, that had to have been tough.
Yeah, so changes need to be made. And fortunately for me, I had been working another whole high-profile case, a joint investigation with Postal Service Office Inspector General. And one of their supervisors reached out to me after the case was coming to a close and had stated to me, hey, we have an opening. Would you be interested? I was not even looking at him. you know, it's crazy how things like that happen sometimes.
Yeah, it's called faith.
Yeah, it's exactly right, sir. Yeah. That's what it is. And so she talked to me for a little while about it. And I was one of several applicants, from what I understand, that they were looking at. And I interviewed for them. And a couple weeks later, they offered me a job. And here I am.
So you think you're going to finish out your time in law enforcement there?
Oh, yeah. Postal OIG is an amazing organization. Their agency is phenomenal. They are a family first agency. They look out for their agents 100%. My supervision structure here in Chicago is phenomenal. And the work that they give us here in Chicago is great. I have no complaints about this agency. And you know as well as I do, Tony, if you did have a complaint, nobody's listening.
So true.
But no, all jokes aside, it's a great place to work, and they are a very family friendly organization. And being back doing street work, it's what I love. And being able to be a dad first, that's one of the most important things in the world to me. So I have the best of both worlds now.
Yeah, you got it, man. You nailed it. You know, family is definitely first. Let's segue into the next part here, which is dig deeper. That's where I'm going to get a little nosy and go into your social media and start pulling up some posts. And we're going to dig deeper into them and find out what you were thinking when you made those posts. And
I don't know, man. Should I have scrubbed my social media before we did this?
No, I'm going to keep it clean. I'm going to keep it clean. You mentioned your kids and your family, and one of the things that immediately I noticed on your social media is that you post a lot about your kids. And I just wanted to know, how would you feel if one of your kids came to you and said, Dad, I want to go into law enforcement? What would you tell them?
Oh, man, I wouldn't think twice about it. I'd encourage it. You know, I've listened to a couple of your podcasts, and there's some mixed statements on that. But for me, I'd encourage it. And I'll tell you right now, I think my youngest, my daughter, my 9-year-old, I bet you she will at some point probably say she will, because she has a similar personality to me. She is a helper. She's the type of person, if she has a cookie, she's looking for somebody to give half of it to.
Yeah.
And if they want to do it, and if that's their passion, I'll encourage it. I know today's climate, and you and I know, even though you're retired, that from the early 2000s to now, the climate of the attitude towards law enforcement has steadily changed.
Mm-hmm.
But in my opinion, it is still a virtuous career track.
Yeah.
Because it's not about how people, it's never been, Tony, about how people perceive you. That's not why you signed up for it.
Right.
It's about what you're doing for other people.
Correct.
If you signed up for this job to do it for how you're perceived, you signed up for the wrong reason. You signed up for this job to help other people and to make sure that other people didn't get hurt. You signed up to protect and serve,
mm-hmm.
not to go out there and look good in a uniform and say, oh, he looks really good, or she looks really good in that uniform, or with that detective's gold badge on.
Yeah.
Wow, they must be special. So if my son or daughter comes to me and says, Dad, I want to go to a police academy, or Dad, I want to go to college to get my degree to go into law enforcement, to be a police officer, to be a federal agent, or to be any varying degree of a military police officer, I'm going to encourage it because they want to help others.
I don't know if it's because I've been removed from the profession, from the everyday of it for a while now. But if that happened to me and one of my kids came to me and mentioned that they want to go into law enforcement, of course I'm going to support them. But I think I would still have in the back of my mind, I don't want them to do that. And I think obviously because of what has gone on over the past couple of years, but like you said, that's just part of the job. That's what we signed up for. And we know that. And at the end of the day, it's all about helping people. And that, I think, would be the reason that would push me to support them if that was the choice that they made. But I would still have mixed emotions about it. And it's funny because I was thinking about this the other day. As someone who's been out of law enforcement for almost 7-8 years now, I see things from a different perspective, I guess. And I totally get that there are some changes that need to be made in law enforcement. And I'm not saying that because law enforcement is doing anything wrong. I think it's just because of the times that we are in. It's just because of society has changed and they expect law enforcement to change with them. And there are changes that definitely needs to be made in order for us to go along with the rest of society, if that makes sense.
Sure does.
We're a more passive society, I'll put it that way. And yes, we can't continue to use the past practices of law enforcement if we're going to exist in this passive society that we have now. You know, so that would be my only reason for not wanting my children to go into law enforcement. But I want to stay on the family thread here for a second and get into a post that I saw. And it was a recent post, I believe, that you had posted. And it was a picture of you and your dad, and I think your brother, at a very young age. And the caption read, 1 year ago today, my father passed away. I missed you, Dad. Obviously, you know which post I'm referring to. And my question is, what was the most important lesson that your father taught you?
Tony, man, you trying to make me cry?
No, and just so everybody knows, when I do this, the guests don't know which post I'm going to ask them about. But again, that theme of family, I kept coming across it on Drew's profile. And I just really wanted to dig deeper because I could see that's something that's important to him.
Oh, man. So Tony knows me and he knows that I wear my heart on my sleeve. I mean, at my retirement /resignation thing at Southfield PD, man, I cried like a baby.
You and me both, bro.
because I was leaving my family. So, I mean, it's all about family for me. And when you just said that about my dad, my eyes started.
Yeah, I didn't mean to make you swell up like that.
Right. That's all right, man. It's what it's all about. One thing my dad taught me, but I've actually struggled with this quite a bit lately due to outside variables in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm working hard at getting back to it, especially in the past few weeks. I've been working real hard at it. And you can hear it in my voice a little bit even right now that it's choking me up. But my dad always taught me calm. He taught me, and I carried this into law enforcement. And I think that's why I was successful as a detective and how I've been able to do well as an investigator in my career. Or at least I feel like I have. I don't know. Maybe I've just gotten lucky throughout my career. Maybe I've just had, I mean, half of it is doing good and half of it is just some lucky breaks. But is my dad was, and I did this in my speech at his eulogy too, I said this, that one thing, and everybody in the room agreed about this about my dad, is my dad was super calm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, man, he had this calming thing about him that he could just come in a room, and if anybody was stressed, like, he could just bring it down.
Yeah.
Three notches just by putting his hand on your shoulder. Hold on, man. I need a second.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. I didn't mean to.
No, it's all right. It's yeah. All right. And it's all good, brother. And so, you know, he instilled that in me at a young age. And I carried that through my whole career.
Mm-hmm.
And I carried that into my life. And I instilled that in my children, too. And I'm teaching that to my son and my daughter. And that is definitely a skill that he's given to me. And unfortunately, I feel like I've lost that recently. I'm working to get that back. That's why I got a little bit emotional. But it's a good thing. It's a good thing for all of us to have. And it's a good thing for us to carry with us. I think it's definitely a good skill set to carry.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And whatever you're going through, bro, just know that God has you and everything happens to us for a reason. Good, bad, or otherwise. And you just keep your head up and keep the faith and keep doing the things you're doing and you'll get through whatever you're going through. But I want to kind of, yeah, for sure, bro, just to lighten the mood a little bit, stand on your dad's pulse here for a second.
Yeah.
What was something you did as a kid that your dad just got in your ass for?
Oh, man. Tattling on my brother.
Yeah.
Tattling on my brother. I remember one incident. My dad was cutting the grass and I was out in the front yard. My brother was 4 years older than me. I think I was like six at the time, maybe five or six.
Okay.
And I was messing with my brother and he square popped me right in the eye. And I came around the side of the house. And then I was like, I'm all bawling and stuff like that. And he stops the lawnmower. He's like, what? Matt popped me, pushed me right in the eye. and he looks at me, he's like, you probably deserved it. He pulled the lawnmower and started cutting the grass right away. And I had this look of disbelief on me, like, you're not going to do anything. And that was it, man. It was my lesson of like, don't tattle unless it's something really serious. Like, yeah, I started that one. I got what I deserved.
It's funny because when I came up with that question, I started thinking about when I was a kid and the stupidest shit that I ever did that my dad just lit me up for. I can't remember how old I was, but I was probably around 10, something like that. And I had a buddy by the name of James that lived around the corner from us. And James and I were hanging out one day and he got this bright idea to go to the store and buy some candy. Well, neither one of us had any money. So he goes, well, we can write a check. I'm like, where are we going to get a check from? He goes, your dad doesn't have any. So I go in the house. Nobody's home. I start going through all my dad's stuff. I find his checkbook. I take out a check. We write it out. Didn't know what the hell we were doing. We go to the party store to buy some some noun later. We thought we wrote the check out for $1 and it was $100. And of course they did. Of course they didn't take it. So we're heading home. We tear the check up on the way home. And I'll never forget, man, I got home. My old man was standing there waiting. And he says, you been in my checkbook? No. He knew I was lying my butt off.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget that day because by the time I got home, it had started pouring down raining. And he asked me, what did I do with the check? And I told him I tore it up. And he made me go out and look for it in the rain. I was like, what the hell was I thinking about? One last question about this post. What, if anything, do you do now that makes you say, man, I'm becoming like my dad?
Man, let me think about that. What, if anything, do I do now that makes me?
I'm going to tell you how I came up with this question. At the time I was thinking about it, the commercial came on. I think it was a Geico commercial about becoming your parents. I don't know if you've seen.
Mm-hmm. That's a funny commercial. Yeah.
That's what made me come up with this question.
Well, you know, besides the calling thing, my dad and I are very different people.
Okay.
So,
you good?
Yeah. I'm good, man. It's not an emotional thing. It's just my dad and I are, you know, are very different walks of life. besides the calm thing, I just reflected on it. I just got to think that what is making me become like my dad is just now, I guess, when I talk to my children, like when my dad did talk to me, is when I talk to my children. It's like I take time now to listen to them and hear what they have to say instead of just talking at them. I talk to them. And that has to do with the calm aspect. Like I was saying, like I may have lost my calm in some other areas, aspects of my life. Mm-hmm. But with them, I really have leveled it out and listened to what they have to tell me. Now it doesn't mean that they may not get theirs occasionally. Sometimes that's got to happen.
Yeah.
As a 9 and 11 year old. But a lot of times take the time now to just listen to what they have to say instead of just they're wrong.
Yeah. I don't know if you had a chance to listen to one of the last couple of episodes I did with Mark Hildebrand. I can't remember the episode number, but that was one of the things he had mentioned. Instead of just going off on his kids, he now takes the time to listen to them. And that's not a bad trait to have. That's not a bad thing to pick up. Moving on to another post here. It was a post I saw where you were standing next to a target with an axe, and the caption was stress relief. Yeah. You remember that post?
Yeah, that's from a while ago.
Okay. My question about that is, what stresses you out the most?
Man, what stresses me out the most is making sure my kids are safe. Not in an overbearing type of way. Not like helicopter dad type stuff.
Right.
Nothing like that. But just being there for them 100%. Mm-hmm. And because I'm a single dad and for the most part what they got.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I'm not going to divulge into more of that because those waters can get muddy.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally get it.
You know what I'm saying? So,
yep, I get it.
I need to make sure that I'm the best I can be for them. And so I work hard at being the best I can be. That's why I work for the agency I do instead of taking the prestigious route and trying to stand next to the president or working in some other position with my last agency. The agency I'm with right now is a very prestigious agency and it's a phenomenal agency and I love it there. But the reason why I love it there more is because I can coach my daughter in softball in the summertime.
Yeah.
And I don't have to miss a game.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to have that work-life balance. Yeah. Man.
Yeah, and I can be at every one of my son's golf lessons, and I don't have to miss one because I'm in Florida with the president, or different president now. But I'm talking about last year, right?
Right.
Stuff like that. So, the work-life balance is phenomenal, and that's more important to me than the accolades.
Yeah, man. As we get older, we definitely figure out what's more important in life.
Yeah, man. how it is. You do too. I have a couple boxes full of awards and ribbons from the job. But what's most important to me is my daughter's first year of softball. I got to pitch to her every game.
Yeah. And
seeing her go from not being able to hit the ball in the first couple of games to her hitting the ball almost every time at bat. And I got to do all the pitching.
Mm-hmm.
That's more memorable to me than me getting some award for some case and people clapping for 3 minutes and then the award is in some box somewhere. It's not even hanging on a wall.
I hear you, man. It's funny you say that because I was down in the basement the other day and I was going through some stuff that we have down there and I found a bunch of the certificates and all that stuff that I had gotten from the department. And it was funny because I was thinking about what I was doing at the time when I got those. I was working predominantly midnight and I was just thinking about all the events that I missed out on because I was tired or had to sleep or work, So yeah, man. So like I say, as we get older, man, different things become a priority and family should always be number one.
Always. Too many people lose track of that. I swore I would never lose track of that. That's my number one priority, man.
I hear you, man. I hear you. All right. I'm going to move off the post there and move on to the next segment, which is the random 7. Now, like I said, these are just random as hell questions. Okay. I don't even know what they are. I just have electronic deck of cards that pick them. So we'll go. If it's something too distasteful, I won't even ask it. But The first one, what's the most disgusting thing that you have ever had in your mouth? I told you, man, these are just random ass questions.
Oh, man.
But they make for interesting conversation.
Yeah, I can't even think of most disgusting food that I've ever had in my mouth. Man, disgusting food. I don't know, buddy.
And it's funny because I tried to think of something.
Yeah.
And I couldn't think of it. Well, outside of food, I couldn't think of anything that I could give an answer to for that. So,
yeah. I mean, well, I can't think of anything that I've had that's super disgusting to eat. I know that, you know, I've been scuba diving before and I accidentally swallowed a whole bunch of ocean water and I vomited in my receiver and I'm underwater.
Oh, wow.
And that's probably the most disgusting thing. And you're underwater.
I think that would qualify.
Yeah. And you got to project it out and still try to breathe because you're underwater. So,
yeah, I think that
that's pretty disgusting.
Yeah, I think that fits the bill. The next question, who would play you in a movie?
Who would play me in a movie? So I've been told two. And I don't see it, but this is what I've been told. I've been told Ben Affleck.
I see that. I can definitely see that.
And when I was a deputy and I first started in my first year, a lot of the inmates used to call me that. I don't know. Can I curse on this?
Yeah, go ahead.
When I used to work the blocks, when I first started my first couple months, a lot of the inmates would say, look at that Tom Cruise ass looking motherfucker in those tight ass pants. I used to get that a lot on the block. Look at that Tom Cruise ass looking motherfucker in those tight ass pants.
Inmates can be crude as hell, man.
Because they don't give you uniforms that fit you.
Right. You just reminded me of something. I was in the jail one day and I was booking this guy in. And you remember how the bench was up there? He's sitting there.
Yeah.
And it was at a point where I had put on some pounds. And he looks at me and he goes, those fucking pants kind of tight, aren't they, man?
I remember that, actually.
Yeah, damn inmates, they could be ruthless, boy. I tell you. I can definitely see the Ben Affleck. That's for sure.
I've gotten that one a bunch, but I don't know. I guess Affleck.
All right. The next question. Would you rather be rich or famous, but you can't be both?
Well, I'd rather be rich.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Because fame is fleeting. And in my opinion, fame is all about self-gratification. But rich, you can
help others,
whatever you want.
Yeah. Yeah. And do like we say, you can help others and you can do a lot more.
Help others, yeah. Yeah. You can be a philanthropist. You can do everything that you've ever wanted for yourself and for others. But fame is all about self-gratification.
Three more here. The next one. Could you survive without any phone or internet for a month?
Easy. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, man. I tell you what. I did a little while back. I did a social media purge for like 3.5 weeks.
Okay.
4 weeks. And man, it was nice. It was nice. I just turned it off and I shut them all down. And except for like just like Messenger, so I could talk to people that I knew.
Mm-hmm.
But like all the posts, all anything, it was like freedom.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because I'm doing that right now a little bit with news. I've just totally turned off the news and I don't even read the newspapers or news apps or anything like that. And it is a fresh. It just changed your mindset. You realize how much you get, what's the word I'm looking for? Inundated with all of this stuff. And it starts to affect your mood and everything else. And like, even with social media for me, other than Instagram and a little Twitter, and that's just to promote the podcast, I really haven't been posting a whole lot, especially on Facebook, because Facebook has become so toxic and I found myself falling in that trap and I had to give it up. It's funny, but someone that we used to work with, they fell deep into that trap and I'll never forget. We had a back and forth on Facebook and this person had posted, this was back around the time of the Trayvon Martin incident. And she posted a picture of the rapper, The Game. And she says, this is the real Trayvon Martin that the media doesn't want you to see. And I replied, that's not Trayvon Martin. That's the rapper of the game. And she replied to me, no, you don't know what you're talking about. This is Trayvon Martin. And the media is trying to brainwash you into thinking that he's this good young kid. But here he is with all his tattoo. I'm like, okay, no need for me to even reply because I'm obviously talking to an idiot.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah, my gosh. Yeah, I mean, there's people like that out there that would just buy anything. And I mean, social media isn't the end all be all that like destroys things, but it contributes to like the deterioration of people's relationships,
yeah,
contributes to the deterioration of influence in kids. For the negative, it very rarely do you see it contributing to the positive of things.
Yeah.
Like it does, it can, but
so it's more the other way, that's for sure.
So often you see it contributing to the negative of getting people worked up on their anxiety in a relationship, or like, why are you liking this? Or why are you like, looking at that, it's like, are you serious? It's social media.
Have you seen Social Dilemma, the documentary?
I started watching it and I got distracted because the kids were home and I haven't finished watching it, but I need to watch it because I heard it's really good.
It's extremely good. And I would recommend everyone watch it. Two more questions here.
Yeah.
Who are three famous people, dead or alive, that you would love to have dinner with?
Three? Did you say two or three?
Three.
Three famous people dead or alive that I'd like to have dinner with. Three famous people dead or alive that I'd like to have dinner with. I'd like to have dinner with the congressman from Texas, Dan Crenshaw.
Okay.
You know who he is?
No, he's the one guy from Texas I haven't heard of.
He intrigues me. He is a former Navy SEAL, war hero. If you find him, he has an iPad. He is injured in battle. He's a congressman now. Very smart dude, very intellectual. He's not extreme anything, very well spoken. I would not be surprised if in the next 8 to 10 years he's running for president.
Really?
He's a sharp guy.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to look him up and check him out.
Yeah, he's a Republican, and I don't swing either way. I don't swing left or right. I voted both sides of the aisle. I'm one of those vote for the best candidate type of guys, but he intrigues me. I'd also would like to invite to that dinner Abraham Lincoln, because I think we've really lost track of what that guy was trying to accomplish.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you on that.
And I mean, not to mention, he was the guy that jump-started the Secret Service.
But, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Because counterfeiting was so prevalent back during the Civil War time and after that in the South, that he was the one that got started.
Okay. Wow. I didn't know that.
So, yeah, the Secret Service at the time was undercover agents sent to the South to try to stop counterfeiting. They actually didn't start protecting the president until the early 1800s, not with his death.
Okay. That's what I was going to ask. But, was that after he got assassinated?
No, but the third, it's a toss-up. So I would have to say, because there's a couple, but the third one, I mean, I think I would have to say MLK. And I think at the risk of sounding like way too obvious with what's going on right now,
mm-hmm,
but...
That's an interesting set of people.
I mean, because it's... I'd like to throw in a fourth of like John F. Kennedy, but if I'm going of like who I'd really like to talk to more, it'd be MLK.
Yeah. That's an interesting set.
Because the whole dynamic of the country is just a mess right now, man. And you could bring in some of these guys, these people together right now and say like, let's have a talk.
Yeah. I contribute a lot of that back to what we were just saying about social media. I think you have too many people that don't need platforms now have platforms. And the masses can hear it.
Oh my gosh.
That's the unfortunate thing. I have another podcast called Social Stupidity. And that's basically what I do. I talk about social media and I contribute. I mean, you really think about it. Social media really started in what, 2007, 2008, somewhere back there. Mm-hmm. And like I say on that podcast, back before social media came out, you had stupid people walking around, but now those stupid people have platforms that the world can hear them on. And unfortunately, with these algorithms, the way they are, they continue to feed you more stupid shit the more you engage with it. So you become just bombarded with the same one view. Just watch Social Dilemma, everybody. It explains it much better than I can.
Shoot, you just watch the preview of Social Dilemma and you'll get a taste of one.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The last question, this is an easy one. Do you sing in the shower?
Do I sing in the shower?
Yeah.
No, but I have discussions with myself in the shower.
Okay.
I'll sing to myself in the bathroom sometimes as I'm getting ready, but in the shower, I will have some discussions with myself about how I'm going to approach things.
Okay. That's your quiet time then, huh?
Yeah, man. I don't know. You want to call me weird? I'm weird. But I will hash things out with myself sometimes in the shower about how I'm going to approach things.
Okay. Sure. Yeah. I never heard anybody having a conversation with themselves in the shower before. That's a first. So let's go on to the last segment here, and it's called This or That. And I'm going to give you two topics or two objects to choose from, and you just select one. And like I said, you don't really have to explain your selection unless you want to, but these are pretty much no-brainers. The first one is chili. Beans or no beans?
Beans. What's chili without beans?
Exactly. That's not even chili to me.
It's just meat sauce.
Exactly. You got to have the beans. Vintage or modern?
Oh, man, I think you need to find a happy medium between the two, because you can marry the two. You can add some vintage into some modern in both ways. I think you can combine the two between rooms and transition them.
Okay.
And have a nice combination. I don't know, man. You got to watch some HGTV, I think.
Oh, dude, that's all I watch. Trust me.
All right.
The next one, Home Depot or Lowe's?
Home Depot all day.
M&M's or Skittles?
Oh, M&M's, man. I'm chocolate.
Yeah, I hear you. Corn, on the cob or off the cob?
On the cob. It just bites different, man, when you have it on the cob.
Yeah, and you plus you can grill it.
On it.
Yeah,
you can. Yes. It's way different on the grill.
Oh, much better. I got a recipe that just drives people crazy. I take corn on the cob. I rub it in olive oil. I put chipotle seasoning on it, paprika, and parsley, wrap it in foil and put it on the grill for about 15, 20 minutes. Dude, people go crazy over it.
Now, is that parsley like salt or parsley powder?
Just parsley leaves, dried parsley leaves.
Parsley leaves?
Yeah.
And then do you wrap it in tinfoil?
Yep. Okay. Yep. Wrap it in tinfoil.
So you're not just putting it on the stock, just right on there to cook. You're wrapping it in tinfoil.
Yeah, because that oil gets in there and it gives it a nice, rich, buttery flavor from sitting in it as it's cooking.
Butter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. I like it. I'm
gonna
try it.
It's crazy, dude. The next one is toilet paper, over or under?
Oh, definitely over. I'm a guy.
And the last one, Drew, Bob Marley or Jimi Hendrix?
Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to. Yeah. Oh, man, that's a tough one for me.
Marley's got some great music, but
that's a tough one. Yeah.
Hendrix is one of the greatest guitarists of all time.
From the facts, that is facts. No doubt about that. But yeah, that's a tough one for me. They each have their own thing and they're so far apart, but they're the same. They're both geniuses.
That's truth.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, man, I appreciate you coming on and kicking it with me on the podcast. If you want to go ahead and share your social media so people can go over and check you out and follow you and everything and see what you got going on, go ahead and give that out if you know it off the top of your head.
Yeah. So my Instagram is @Drew_SN and my Facebook is just Drew_SN. So pretty basic and easy.
Okay. And man, I appreciate it again, you coming on and kicking it with me and us catching up a little bit here and just being open and honest. And I didn't mean to take you to that place, but you know,
It's all right, man.
I appreciate the honesty and you opening up and just like you say, you wear your heart on your shoulders. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's all right, man. I appreciate the questions. And you know, if it was too tough of a question to answer, I would have asked you for something else. So that's all right.
That's cool. Well, listen, guys, if you have not subscribed to the podcast, what are you waiting for? Go ahead, subscribe. We're on every platform right now. So go ahead, subscribe on your favorite platform so that you don't miss any future episodes. Also, if you have not heard, every Monday, I will be giving out a free vacation voucher to a luxury hotel for a 3-night, 4-day stay in Las Vegas, Myrtle Beach, or Orlando, Florida. To enter and to get all the details, all you have to do is text off duty to 833-989-3124. That's off duty to 833-989-3124. And you can get all the details and all the information from there. And it's just a random selection, but you can't win if you don't enter. And man, I appreciate it again, you coming on. And do you have any last words?
Yeah, Tony. Hey, I really want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to be on your show and have me on. And it was really great getting a chance to catch up with you, especially after so many years.
Yeah, man, it was my pleasure. Yeah, for sure. Same here, brother. I appreciate it. And like I said, you take care of those kids and take care of yourself and keep doing what you're doing, bro.
Thanks, man. Thanks again.
Yep. And on that note, you guys take care and stay safe out there. And I'll see you on the next episode. Bye-bye.